Bob Schmidt and Vince Casey were both to be here tonight. Because of other commitments at the last minute, they couldn't come. In a way, I'm almost glad that Bob couldn't come because it gives me the opportunity to talk with Mr. Lear. Yeah, Mr. Lear, we did a lot of talking yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we about run out.
I think we did. And we talked about when you were, we talked about the old days in your very early life, when you were born and where, and you told me all about that. Do you want to tell me about that now?
Well, I was born on October the 17th, 1894, in Rigglesville, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a year and a half old, my dad took the lock up here.
Mm-hmm. Which lock was that?
Number 6. It's in that book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where is number 6?
Oh, well, from that lock down there up is 2 miles. It's just up a little about a mile and a half.
Okay, you speak up now.
And then the next one is where his brother-in-law kept. Now, his name was Borden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that fellow's dad had that lock. And, he got to be so old, well, he turned it down to his son.
Yes.
And Borden married my dad's sister, so that was a brother-in-law name there. But the old Lears, I guess half of them dug the canal.
Really?
They started out, and now my great-grandfather, he worked there, he was one of them. My grandfather was a big boss, and he had a brother that never worked. No, he had two brothers that didn't work on the canal. Newberry had a farm, and Henry was a carpenter. But the others, now Barnett, he was a boss on the carpenter boat.
Mm-hmm.
They were my granddad's brothers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, heavens above. Now, they go on down, and as they got married, now, you're about 14 years old, young man, you got to have a job. I'm going to get you a job. Give him a job on the canal. The next one come along, same way. The girls got married. Well, they had a son when he got about, now listen, Grandpap's got a job for you on the canal. Well, they just changed names back and forth, different ones. There was the Millers and all of them. The whole generation just, well, they lived like muskrats. They were just born and raised along the canal. That's all, and they never got no far. Might want to get down the river, something like that. But that is the way my family came up. Well, and then my dad came down here in May of 1896. Well, I was a year and a half old. I didn't want to work on the canal. Enough of them. But Granddad said, if you take the job down there, you got a lifetime job.
All right.
They got $25 a month. Their house rent was free, and they got their coal free. And he stayed there. Well, it was 24 hours a day because the boat started 4 in the morning and run till 10 at night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, then he was there all the time. Well, I had a brother and a sister. They were older than I was. And Dad raised the 3 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything went along very lovely. We lived there. And Dad was there until the canal closed.
Mm-hmm.
All them years, he stayed right at that lock.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lear, you were telling me yesterday that your dad did all the cleaning and the washing and the cooking and everything. Now, if the boat started at 4 in the morning, what time did you get up and what time did you have your breakfast?
Just a minute. Now, you got there to Borden's lock.
Right.
They're coming down the canal.
Right.
All right. Now, they tie up there.
Right.
Well, if they're lucky, they'll lock through that lock.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're on this side. At past 3 in the morning, they start out. They get down to Dad's lock about 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he's got to be up there. Well, now he gets up 4 o'clock in the morning, he's got to lock maybe 3 boats through. Here comes maybe 3 or 4 from down here at Woods lock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By that time, it's about, say, half past 4, 4 o'clock.
Right.
Come on, get up now. I got time to get your breakfast. Get out. Come on, hurry up. We had to get up that time and eat breakfast because maybe in a half an hour there was more boats coming. Well, we got up around anyway from around 4:30, 5:15, just as the boat. And then, of course, there'd be a little spell between because they had to come from Taylorsville down or maybe from Morrisville up.
Right.
Well, then he could get the dishes done or something like that and take care of us kids. That's the way it worked.
Right.
He raised the three of us, but he was there 24 hours a day.
Right. So your father and your grandfather both worked on the canal, you said?
Oh, sure.
Right.
Well, the litters owned the canal.
Really?
Yes, I believe they did, because there was millers and there was, I can't tell you how many different people. The girls got married and all their sons and granddad would give them work on the canal and,
well
it progressed very good, and of course at one time there was quite a lot of boats in the canal, and then they would come in bunches like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw, when I was a little bit of a shaver, there would be anyways from 40 to 50 boats go through Yardley. Now there might
really?
Be 25 goes that way and about 25 going up.
In what period of time?
All day long, from 4 to 10 at night, they would come back and forth going up after.
How late at night?
10 o'clock.
Really?
Oh, yeah. See, they start at 4 in the morning.
Right.
And they had to tie up at 10 o'clock at night. And then most of them would get to where they could. Now, if you go up here above the Mount Air Road,
mm-hmm.
Well, you go up there, no farmhouse. Billy Kirk tried that. Well, that was called a milk house. He was an old farmer. Well, the boats would come down there and they'd tie up, put the mules in the barn, and they'd feed them and whatever. Well, then when you come on down, you come down to Borden's Lock, and there was a barn there, and they could put them in there. And coming up, Ike Wood there, that old lock there, he had a big barn,
mm-hmm.
And they put them in there. And of course, the barns is gone, everything's gone, the pieces of locks just fell down. But it was just one boat after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they hauled anything,
mm-hmm.
All but the company boat. He had hauled coal.
Oh, I see.
He went one way empty, going back. But he had a load of coal. Well, he was either going to, maybe come down as far as below Eastern, and he'd unload coal, come on down. You're already going down to Marshall, going to Philadelphia, maybe go to New York with a load of coal or whatever it was. He'd go right back empty, get another load of coal.
Yeah. Now, where were the coal yards in Yardley? Where there was a distribution center, you said?
Well,
distribution.
How many of you folks are, it goes through Yardley, live around in here? You do? All right. I'm going to take you right down Main Street in Yardley. I'll take you down Main Street in Yardley. You know where the old Catholic Church stood? All right. Now, as you pass that, there's an old brown house. And then there's an alleyway goes in there to, I guess it's a machine shop now, or a metal shop. That was the Yardleyville coal place. Now, when you come up out of there and go, the next house down is that little low red, looks like a little bungalow built in there. That is the Yardleyville Coal Distribution Office. But we went down that road, and there's where the you build your wagon, because all these people out through here in the country, they would come in, and in front of that building, there was a set of scales like down here by the Wheelies. You drove on that, and you got your wagon. All right, you go down, you throw on whatever your wagon would hold. You come up there in the wet, you pay there, and you drive up there to Dolington, or maybe out back here, or up through state, wherever. It was the Yardleyville Coal Distribution Place. That's all gone. Well, that was the Yardleyville Coal Distribution. And then when Aaron come here and took the old lumber yard over, then they done away with that, and Aaron took it and moved it up where it was now. And then when he passed, well, Carl Rich took it, moved in there with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it was Aaron and Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Aaron, he gave up, and then it was Rich, and then it went from Rich to, Barnes, E.Y. Barnes. And old Louis Leadham worked for Louis Leadham, and he worked all them. Well, now when E.Y. Barnes took that place, I'll tell you what happened. Louis Leadham worked there, and the president of the bank went up there and he said to Louis one day, "We better take a big insurance out on that man. He ain't going to live more." "I can't do it." He said, "Don't tell me you can't do it." He says, "You go and take a big insurance on that man." And he ain't. Well, do you know, about 1 year after that, E.Y. Barnes laid down and died. Louis Leadham took all that insurance and bought that building.
That was very thoughtful of Mr. Barnes.
Well, that's the gospel truth. That's where. But he made it sure that when Louis Leadham got it, he didn't dare lay Barry Hibbs off, or he didn't dare lay this other bit, because they worked for him for a long time. So he had to keep them. Well, later on, they passed out. But then old Louis Leadham, he got it, and he bought the old powerhouse and started to, had that for a junkyard or something. Helen Leadham and Carl and I guess they owned half a yard. They didn't own putting it all back street. I call it back street, you know. Yeah.
That's what you call my street? Back street?
Well, we always call it back. We went down the back street, see, but canal street. But as I say, the old coal yard was moved up in there all years ago. And where the sawmill is, they used to bring the logs down the river, the rafts, I remember them. And then they'd bring them in, and between the grist mill and the Valley Market, there was a great big cut in there, just like the canal.
Mm-hmm.
Now when they brought the logs down the river, they would bring them in below the bridge and haul them up. Then they'd roll them in the canal, and they'd bring them around, and they'd push them back in this cut so the boats could go through. Well, when old Josie Swartlander wanted a log, he'd pull it out there up to the sawmill. Well, after a while, railroads got to running. They got to shipping lumber from the west. Sawmills closed down, dried up, gone to pieces. Well, there it laid. Then they built the trolley company. Come through. They built the powerhouse there.
Mm-hmm.
All
where the Valley Market is.
Where the Valley Market is, mm-hmm. That was the powerhouse. Now, they burnt coal. All them coal ashes was dumped into this place where the logs were, and they filled that up. Now that's gone. You can park your car back there. That's got filled up.
Oh,
it's not there no more, see?
I see.
And then the store took it over, and they got the Valley Market there next to the old grist mill shut down. That's gone. Nothing left in the yard anymore. Right. When I come here, you know where the old hotel sits on the corner? Well, all right.
Which one are you talking about, the Continental or the Yardley Inn?
No, the Continental.
Continental.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
On Bridge Street, you went up there on Big Porch, and right there was a pump.
Right, on Bridge Street.
Yeah. Now, they had a trough built along there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could go and get your drink, but the horses got their drink out of this pump.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Now, they come from that, and then, of course, business got good. They went to work and put a big windmill right up in back and put a big tank. And then they put all rooms up in there, and that was for people staying overnight in one center because they had a livery stable there and one thing or other. Well, old McCarthy, he had that there, and then after that, they tore them all down and left everything, and that makes that parking yard for the...
Continental and the Valley Market?
Yeah. Well, the town has changed. The mill shut down. Wait, what has it got? They got every kind of a store in there now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's all gone to pieces.
What did you tell me now about Bridge Street and Pond Street? Didn't you mention Pond Street and Bridge Street?
There's Bridge Street right here. You start clean way down to the lower end, and you come to Marsville. The street that where that river bridge comes across is Bridge Street, Marsville. Bridge Street, Yardley. Bridge Street, New Hope. Wherever one went, this was Bridge Street. Well, this old pond out back here was built to supply water for the old grist mill. And right below here, there's a creek comes through between Joe Swartz. Well, that's where the water come in until they built the bleacher here, and then it comes back through here, the dam down there. We skated on the old mill pond. Everything. It was a mill pond. Them old Quakers got together one night, and right out back in here, there was a willow tree. And in the evening, they would have a little music, and they'd sit out there and they would sing old songs. Well, one night they're out there, and they were playing, "Flow Gently, Sweet Afton." "Oh, let's call this Lake Afton." Now, what was Lake Afton? All right? Now, this had to be Afton Avenue. From up here to the line down, that was Afton. But this was Bridge Street. Now, if you hunt all through this old place and go down Main Street, you come to Van Horn.
Right.
Where Gladys Harper lives and that foot doctor on it.
Mm-hmm.
You go back in and you go right straight clean on back to the golf course. There's a creek runs there.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down by that creek, that is Pond Street. You go in Van Horn, the first one's Harper Avenue.
Right.
You're going down to the next one, and that's Pond Street, and they go out on Redding Avenue. But they never developed it. They never had a house or nothing on there. But that's still Pond Street down there. And there was a few houses here. The bleachery come. People had to get a place to work, live. Well, they come here and they got a job and they got boarders. Then the leather plant come up on the hill. That brought boarders in. Well, they had to hunt. Now, where the post office is today was one of the most beautiful stone homes you ever seen.
Oh, really?
Old Johnny Shoemaker and his wife Susan had that and they kept boarders. That was a beautiful stone home. Well, the old age crop off home, and of course these people that boarded there, they had their own homes then, built back in two down through Yardley on the flats. And they had give up and the folks got old and they laid down and died. And the borough tore that house down, one of the most beautiful houses. They tore it down and built that old post office down there. Old brick building. Right next to that we had a blacksmith shop. You go right down here Bill's drugstore is,
mm-hmm.
That was a blacksmith shop.
Mm-hmm.
There were two blacksmith shops on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. Well, the horses left too, I guess. I don't know. they give up. Now, when you talk to somebody, when I was a kid going to school, I had to go by them blacksmith shops. Well, a man by the name of Donovan had that, and then he give it up, and then Olin Gallagher had it. And then there was a Tom Vaughan, he had it. Old Johnny Lovett kept his. Later on, it disappeared. And there, the old shop put there went to pieces. And lo and behold, if you remember back, there was a Smith's Drug Company. And the Smith's Drug Stores?
Remember Smith Brother Cough Drops.
Yeah, well, no, this was Smith's Drug Store, because there was one in Lambertville, there was one here, and they took that old building, and of course, before they got to it, the Yardley Fire Company was well prepared to put out a fire where the old Methodist church sits.
Yeah.
If you go back there, there's a long house back.
Right.
That was where they kept the old fire engine.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now it's coming to fire, everybody runs up and pulls the fire engine down here and runs it out, and that had buckets on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dipping out of the canal, two rows of men. I'm dipping out hand to you and passing up the empties that's coming down. All right, now, fire's out, we go home. There sets the engine down there. Well, tomorrow night when school's out, all the kids will get out and pull that thing back and put it in the barn.
Right.
Well, now, things got progressing. So around about 1916, they decided they would have a brand new engine. So they bought a two-cylinder auto car, and that had a tank on it, might hold maybe, oh, say 500 gallons. They had a couple of ladders and an axe, so they could break the windows out, one thing or other, do more damage in the fire. Well, now, when the blow the whistle, now we got to get to the fire. Well, an old two-cylinder things like that would make about 15 miles an hour. Well, now the first thing is we're going to have a meeting. Now let me see. You live in Yardley, don't you? All right. You're going to be a driver. You live over in Yardley. You live in Yardley. You have a store, don't you, in Yardley? All right. Now, you're right here in Yardley. All right. Now you're going to be the drivers of the fire engine. Well, me and all the rest of us, we work in Trenton down at Marshall or some other place. All young boys. Well, we had a fire this afternoon. Well, we'll take it back with you. Tonight we go. All us young guys, we got to clean the fire engine up and do all this kind of work. Well, if I can't drive it, I ain't going to do that. Well, if they take it out and get it dirty, let them clean it. Now, you see, they didn't stop to think. It was for the people that lived here. They formed number two fire company. They bought, that was the first one they had, was a Ford. And in the front of that, it had a pump. Now, it could run right down the canal, and the old Ford would make it a little faster. They took and put the old firehouse down there, the old blacksmith shop, into a firehouse. And if you take notice today, they got big windows like this, all right? That was where number two went. Well, when the whistle blowed, number two was there first because their engine run faster. And they could run down the canal and set the hose and pump the water where the others had to run. Uh-oh. Boy, that knocked number one to pieces. They turned around and they bought a bigger one. Well, anyway, one night out here below the railroad, it was right in the wintertime and awful cold, and they had the pumper down there, the old Ford pumper, and coming in, it slid in the ditch and they never even drained the water out of the pumps, and it froze and broke. Well, now, number two ain't got no money to get it fixed, what are they gonna do? Well, they give up. There was a firehouse down there. Well, then this here Smith Drug come along, and they come along and took that place. Now, if you go down, you'll see where they got these open holes here, and they got windows in there. Well, now, some people, when I told them it was a firehouse, no, it's a drugstore. I said, well, it was a firehouse before. Well, then they come to realize that that's what it is. But that was years ago. Well, then across the road, they put a bigger fire engine in, and they done this. Of course, the young folks, they give up. And they went back to because they realized that the people that live in the town should be the ones that run the thing. Louis Leedham and Bill Beer had the hardware store, and some of them, they was the ones that drove it. That settled that fire company. They started up and they got that going, but Yardley just went to pieces. Well, they get into a fight and here the house is going on fire, and who's going to get there first, and who's going to get the water on first? And it, all right. Somebody turned the darn water on these firemen, and then here they are fighting one another, and the house is burning. So, that was all good fun. That was good fun. But as I say, then it settled down. It settled down, and they got a little peaceable. But as I say, the old town has gone so bad, and I built that building and put the fire engine in there. Mm-hmm. All right, and here was a blacksmith shop, there was another. Then they tore them all down, and they just ripped everything up. Well, no horses on it. And fixed it. Then run come a Wawa store. First thing I know, the Methodist church is gone.
Right.
That disappeared.
That's right.
The Catholic church is gone. That disappeared.
That's right.
Well, what's left in Yardley anymore?
Well, you know the school up on the hill where you used to go to school. Now
what'd you call that?
The school up on the hill.
And
that's going to disappear.
It did, yes. Yeah. You mean up the old penitentiary?
Right.
That was what I called it. I served my time in there. Walk all the way down that canal, tow path, go up there and sit there all day. Well, an old colored fellow, he was a janitor, and of course the old school was built here. Now there was this room was the first and second grade. That one over there was the third and fourth grade. Then you had to go upstairs to get to fifth, sixth, seventh, and I don't know where it went from there. But, The boys went in this side and up these steps, and the girls went in that door and up them steps. Well, this old colored fellow, he was janitor. Had old pipe of cedar downstairs that heat this room and up there. That one. We went there in the morning and it would be beautiful in there. Maybe the next day or two it would be starting cold if you had to wear your coat. He'd be on drunk no fire. I'm telling you. And then the Morocco factory come, the leather factory, and they put that up in there, and when they cooked that their enamel for them hides.
Where was that factory?
Up here where they make batteries now.
Oh, I see.
Well, you see up on the other, they laid all them hides out there on frames to dry, because they, well.
What kind of hides were they?
Goat skins, sheep skins, now and then a horse hide, but they were all prepared when they enameled them and made like for patent leather shoes and for kitchen. Well, when they started to cook that enamel, boy, they had to shut them windows up there in that school. I suppose you couldn't stand that smell coming in. Then that got out of it. Then that disappeared. Well,
tell me about your teacher, that one teacher that you caused you to change your mind about schooling.
Oh. Now listen, I'm going to start from the day I went to school. I had a brother and I had a sister. They were older than me. I fished in the canal. Dad says, well, son, got to go to school tomorrow. Why? Because you got to go to school. You're old enough to go to school. Oh, that didn't go good, but Miss Purcell down here, she was my school teacher. You go in, little kids have played with, one of them sat over there and I sat here. Hey, Jim! Hey, you're in school now. Now you keep quiet. I can't talk. All right, I get up and I start. You go back and take your seat. All right, you go back and take your seat. I go home, Dad says, well, how'd you make out in school? Didn't make out. Why? Well, can't do nothing. Just got to sit there and listen to her. Now, what are you going to do? I could go fishing. I'm going tomorrow. You're gone. All right, well, well. Now, she says, children, she says, we're going to learn ABCs. She started on the blackboard, and of course we had to get the ABCs, and one's been around, and one day she started, now we're going to work on our figures today. So she, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh. Now Chester, she says, can you count them? I said, yep. 1, 2, 4, 3, 7. No, they go in rotation. I said, I'm getting the numbers. Well, you've got to learn. All right. Finally got that down. She says, would you realize with just them numbers, you can make any number that you want to make? Now, how are you going to make any number you want to make when it goes from 1 to 9 and there's a hole? She goes up to the blackboard and she put a big 4 up here and a 5. 9. She made a 9. 4 and a 5 is a 9. Well, son, what'd you do in school today? Well, we was adding up figures. What do you mean? And I told him. He says, that's right. Now, don't forget it. You understand? Don't forget it. I says, I won't pop 4 and 5 and 9. 2 days after, she had 6 and 3. A couple days after, she had 7 and 2 was 9. Oh, and then a couple days, she had 8 and 1. Now, she only wanted 9 because her name. Well, you couldn't learn or nothing. It was no use to argue. Knew you pay attention to the teacher. Well, that's the way it went. Of course, I got clean on up. Oh, I was way up into the 5th grade. We had a little bit of a Quaker lady. Her name was Eastburn. Well, she came.
What was her name?
Eastburn. Amy Eastburn was her name.
Good.
She was a little short woman. Well, she was young. And of course, we all went to school there and we got set down there the first day and one to the other and everything went along. I saw she was so, and we would walk around, we'd talk and it was just one thing after the other, you know. And, well, come Institute Week and she was always up. Well, we went back, the tallest woman I ever seen in my life. She had fiery red hair and she had a bow about that big in the back. Now, she says, this is my name and that tag, and she wrote, Miss Lease. I'll wipe the floor up with you, young man, and I don't let me see you do that again.
Well, what kind of talk is that?
Well, she meant business. You stay there and take your seat and... Do you hear what I'm telling you? But she meant my business, you know, she was right down there. But I says, guess I had nothing. Oh, God, I guess I must have been 13, 14 years old. I got all wet, was fifth grade. I packed my books all up nice, and that night I went home. I said, Miss Lee, I said, I'm turning my books in. What? Turning my books in? What for? Well, I says, I'm done going to school. You're going to be sorry as you know, ain't. And I went home, I said, well, Dad, you don't have to go to school tomorrow. Why? I said, I turned my books in and everything. I says, I quit. I can't stand her no longer. Well, all right. He says, tomorrow morning you start out and hunt a job. Well, now, I was going to go fishing. It ain't nothing to laugh at. He says, if you ain't done going to school, go to work. Well, an old guy by the name of Abner Brooks was down here. He lived way down lower in the town, almost down to where, what's her name down here? Johnson lived, way down in there. You know where Sam Allen lives? Where is that woman?
It's Rose, over here, Rose Johnson.
Oh, well, you know where Sam and Edna live. Well, they live right in there in that old Brooks place. Talking to him, he worked in Morrisville for a man by the name of Will Hutchison, and he built half of Morrisville. Well, I was talking to old Admiral. He said, well, come down and see Bill Hutchison. I went down to see him one day. The trolleys had just started to run. Nice. Good Lord Almighty, I got a job down there, and I stayed there for about 4.5 years. Oh, I got tired of going back and forth, so I started to work up around the yard, and that's all I've done all the rest of my life, just cut wood.
Cut wood.
Yeah. Today, what do you do? Well, I'm a wood butcher. Well, now, what do you mean? All right, go down here at the store and you go in, I want a pound of meat or something. What's a man doing? He's cutting meat and everything. You call him a butcher, don't you? He's cutting meat. Well, I cut wood all my life, so I'm calling myself a wood butcher. That's what I done. But that's what I done ever since. I had a good life. I enjoyed it. But the town has gone so far out of style. See, they tore the old houses down and rebuilt them over. And, well, we had beautiful homes.
Great.
Yes.
Mr. Lear, what did you do when you were a little boy? You know, you didn't have all the toys that youngsters have now. You didn't have all those TV, all those gadgets.
Oh,
and all the...
no.
What did you do for fun?
For fun?
Yeah.
Well, we went fishing. We had an old dog. We could throw the ball around the yard and have a lot of fun with him. And we could go swimming in the canal. And in the wintertime, we went skating. It was all fun. But we had no toys or anything. Well, my sister, she had a doll or something like that. And I think we had an express wagon, but that was me and my brother. And then Dad built us a boat so we could flop around in the canal. That's about, but for Christmas, you got a couple of candies, but you got clothing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But, how did you dress when you were a little boy? You didn't wear long trousers,
oh,
did you?
Oh, no, mm-hmm. Not then. No, heaven mm-hmm. above, no. Mm-hmm. No. Short pants and long johns, heavy underwear in the wintertime, and now for Christmas, you got a skull cap and you got mittens and something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a few candies and an orange. But Dad didn't have too much money, but we had plenty to eat. We had good warm clothes, and he was a very religious man. Anybody in this town will tell you that he was a religious man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, boy, he made us go to Sunday school and church, and I'm telling you, now when you go home, In the morning, there was a half a dozen old men in Yardley, and they had what we called a class meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go in there and they talk Bible.
Bible class meeting.
Yeah, all right. We'll call Bible. Dad would carry me down there because I was only about 2 years old, year and a half, 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Lay on a couple of chairs. Well, now, about the time that was over, then church service began. You could go into church. Lay on. See? Go home. Get your dinner. About 2 o'clock, we had to be back to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Dead on. That would last about 3 o'clock. Time we got home, it's half past 3, 4. Now change your clothes and, all right. That's what we had to do. Well, we had a dog there, oh, maybe about so high, and he was a comical dog, and we always played with him, and he'd bark a lot. Well, my sister had this ball, and we was sort, and the dog got to barking. Hey, today's the Sabbath day, now get up on this porch and sit here. I don't want to hear no more of that. You got all next week to play, ain't you? Good morning. Ain't nothing to do, Pop. Don't tell me. Get your Sunday school lesson and study that. He'd be sitting there. Well, Sunday was a quiet day around there.
Right.
Saturday night, before he went to bed, he peeled the potatoes and everything, because that's... Couldn't do that on the Saturday.
Sunday.
He was very religious. And he brought us up that way, and, well, I don't know if it done any good or not, but... as long as he was the boss of the house, we had to do as he said. So... I had a pretty good life. I was brought up. And we had things. I can't say no. My dad. Well, we had a minister down here in Yardley one time, and somebody was talking to him about and talking about my dad. He says, Chuckler, he says, do you know I heard about your father? He must have been a wonderful man. He says, what kind of man was he? Well, I says, I think he was the best. I said, outside of the good Lord, I said, I think my dad was the best man on earth. He looked at me a little bit, and he says, well, for heaven's sake, he says, what I hear, I guess he was. Because he brought us up in the right way, and we had to do as he said. So, he started on that canal when he was about 14 years old, and he was 71 when he died. And the canal had closed in 31. So he put all his life on the canal. And then...
It opened. I thought it opened in... 1831.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're saying it closed when?
Huh?
Did you say it closed?
1931 it closed.
Closed.
But my dad started to work on the canal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there until that darn canal, well, the canal was running long before Dad took it.
Sure,
but
right.
But he took it in 1894 to come down, 1896. Well, he worked on there when he was only a boy, because he worked up Riggles along the old scow and one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But all his life he put on that canal.
And Mr. Lear, what about the pleasure on the canal? Because they used it for fishing and swimming and skating like that.
Yeah.
But did they also have pleasure boats parties and picnics on the boats?
Well, that would be a scow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they'd make up a little party and they'd have it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, today, you can go up to New Hope, I think. And, well, they got water in there, and they got a barge up there where they take
mm-hmm.
parties out
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but they did that then, too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, once in a while. They'd go down here, you know, and, the old canal here, Franciscus had it. Well, there'd be a lot of people in Yardley, and they'd like to take a little ride. Well, then some Saturday, they'd clean the old scow all up nice and everything, and they'd put benches on it, and they'd take them a ride, maybe up as far as Washington Square, and back again. Yeah, they used to take that out.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then they used the mules to pull the...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they used them old mules.
But they didn't always use those. Didn't you say they used motorized equipment at one time?
That was in 1909. You mean when they put the tugs in the canal? Well, that was in 1909. They put two in 1910 and took them out.
Right.
Because they busted up the banks. And now, if you had one boat and you come down, went through my dad's lock, and you went on down, all right, and here's a tug got three boats back. Dad's got to lock four boats through.
Mm-hmm.
You're going on down the canal. All right. Now, you lock the tug boat through, you get the lock filled up, you lock the second boat through, you're good to get. Well, you're almost down here like with lock already. Well, now when they get that last boat out, that old tug's a puffing and a snorting and a grunting and a twisting and a working, it's a washing about. By the time he gets under headway, he's got to stop because he can't hurt the rock. So they lost so much time, and it damaged the banks too. So
yeah,
they took
right.
them out. They
yeah.
took them out in 1910.
Washed the banks off.
Yeah, they took them out in 1910.
Mm-hmm. And,
but the old stuff, the old boats, they run, but they were happy. A lot of boats went through, and when I come here, it was the only transportation in this village. Your groceries come in by boat. That boat would come off, because it went all over the country, and there'd be a boatload come up. It had barrels of molasses. It had anything you could think of. Cloth, muslin, and gingham and stuff. Now, they had a runner. We called it a runner, a young fellow. Well, he'd come to and lock up there. I'd run up to the store and I'd tell the old guy that deck boat's down here. All right, he'd take his horse and wagon, you'd down, fill up what he wanted. He'd come up here back of Louis Leedham's, and then they'd run up here and there was old Purser and Kid Wilder and them. They'd get down and buy what they want. Then he'd go on up to Taylorsville and they'd go clean up the east that way. And that's the way they brought the stuff in. Your flour, barrels of flour and sweet potatoes and everything was shipped right in. But, all right, going down, you had coal, you had stone, you had lime, cement, iron ore, all that, anything that was movable had to go by boat. And as I say, it was a paying proposition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then some of it went down the canal and then eventually over to the river and down the river, right?
When you come in out of the Lehigh Canal into the Delaware River here, it's 59 3/4 miles from Bristol to Easton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 165 feet in height.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now the locks all have to be built, so it took quite a while to build the old canal. Well, in 1725 is when they dug the first shovel full of dirt down at Bristol for that canal.
Really?
Yeah. 1725 is when the first shovel full was. They had
1725 or 18?
1725. They started. Well, it was all done with pick and shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started that, they had a special meeting. Well, you see the state building, Pennsylvania. And they had a meeting there, and there was, different people there. And they had quite a ceremony. And one of the big shots had a wheelbarrow, and the other one had a pick and a shovel. And they started there at Bristol and they dug a little trench along and moved out. That was the start. Then they had speakers and they had a prayer and they had songs and they had music to celebrate the day of getting the canal. That was 1725. And that went on. And then in 1832, the first load of boat of coal come in at Easton went all the way to Bristol. Then it had to go out into the river.
Mm-hmm.
Then they took it the tug down to Philadelphia, or it went across to Burlington and come up and then went up the Jersey Canal to New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, now the only outlet they had was when you come out of the Lehigh Canal, you went across to Easton. Then you'd hit the Morris Canal and go up through Jersey and go up into the old Erie Canal.
Mm-hmm.
And walk. Then later on, it would come out and go down through another canal. Well, then they went out in Bristol. But then, I can't tell you just what year it was, they opened the canal up at New Hope, made an outlet lock at New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't have to go all the way down there because there's a lot of quarries on the Jersey side there,
right,
up in Stockton and Raven
mm-hmm.
Rock and Byram and all over in there and over here at Greensburg.
Right.
Yeah. Does any of you know where Greensburg is? How many of you folks ever heard tell of Greensburg? No? Well, you've been in it many a time. Do you remember when the old river bridges crossed here? You used to go across the river? Well, where did you go? What was the name of that town over there? Huh? Well, Bertha, it was Greensburg. It was Greensburg when I came. That's the reason I wanted Vince Casey to come here.
Because you wouldn't have an argument with him about that.
Well, and who knows Catherine Belleville around here?
We all do.
All right. She was born and raised in that old stone house. She's about 3 years younger than I. Now, when that old quarry opened up, there was four or five families of Greens. It was an Irish settlement. There was Greens, there was Murphys, there was Rileys, there was Cromwells, there was, I can't tell you how many. And they all worked in the quarries. But when the railroads come through, the quarries was getting wore out anyway. They naturally moved away, kept going until they got down. And it was called Greensburg. But after they had, the last two lived in that town was old Bill Riley and his wife Bertha. Now, instead of calling it Greensburg, they named it after them and they called it Will Bertha. And that's the gospel truth. That's where it got its name. That's where it got its name. Well, look right here, Ashton Avenue, sitting out here singing, "Flow Gently, Sweet Apple." Bridge Street all went to pieces. Now, Catherine Belville and I, when we're talking either about Greensburg or going up there on Bridge Street, and people say, "Well, where are they at?" "Well, they're in Yardley." "Well, I never heard tell Greensburg in my life." So, heavens above, they've been over there and they go over there into it and they don't know it because they never heard of it.
Right.
But as I say, times change and the old times, I've seen an awful lot of changes.
And Mr. Lear, about the barges, now were the barges constructed differently and where did they turn or how did they turn around if they had to go back? Were they all in one piece or separated or did they turn them?
The scows. The scows were because they weren't as long as a canal boat. Mm-hmm. They could turn them right around on top of the canal. And well, they were only about, 2 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
But they was as wide as a lock. They were 10 foot. 10 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might, instead of being 90 feet long, I'd say they would be about, maybe 40 foot long, 45 foot long, something like that. And then, of course, they were so you could go up here and get a load of dirt, and you could patch the towpath, or you could, if the limbs grew out over the canal, you could take and go up there and cut the limbs off and stuff like that, and keep the canal in repair.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was. Mm-hmm. And then they'd take them and clean them all up, put benches on them, and that's what they'd have a barge party.
Mm-hmm.
Like
no, but I'm talking about the old canal boats. Where did they turn them around, and were some separated so that they could...
Oh, you bet your life.
Mm-hmm.
The first boat was a stiff boat.
Mm-hmm.
It was one long boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that boat come down here and unloaded coal at Louis Leadham, he'd have to back up and back in between the grist mill and the sawmill. Then he could turn his boat around. Well, if he was going down the other way, if he got down around, down the road here. No, this side of Marshall. We called that the wide waters. It was wider. Now, it was a cut back in there, and I'd say there would be about maybe 3 foot of water in there. Well, an empty boat could turn around in there and come back. But as I say, then they were so unhandy. But the stone boats, well, then after that, then's when they cut them, because there was different boats in the canal. And if they got over in Jersey, so they went to work and cut all the boats in half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the old stone boats were built that way. You unhinge them, turn this half around, and you kind of open the
mm-hmm.
other.
Right.
Well, that's what started that thing. But mm-hmm. they could go in. But there would be now, there's a boat up here at the Durham Furnace. You've got to take a load of pig iron to Pittsburgh. You're elected to take the boat load of coal to Pittsburgh. Well, how are you going to Pittsburgh? Now, that's got me. How are you going to get there? You come right down here and you ride on down and go out into Bristol. Now when you get to Bristol, they'll take you with a tug down the river because they're going down below by Lewes, Delaware. You go in the Chesapeake Canal and then you go in the Chesapeake Bay. Well, you go right up the Ohio River and Pittsburgh's right on the bank. That's right. You had to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to go into New York, you had to go to Bristol. Well, then when they cut the New Hope Bridge, you could cut across
right.
there and go out.
Sure.
Now, the company boat only hauled coal, but the other boats, they hauled anything that had to be moved that went on that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you went down, maybe you went to Pittsburgh with a load of iron ore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would pick up a load of stuff, you might have to go to New York with it.
Right.
When you pick up a load, you'd have to go way down Virginia with it. You'd have to get it. Well, I didn't see you maybe till, for 2 months or more before you got back, because you was going both directions. You was working for yourself, but if you worked for the company, the Lehigh Coal Company, you only hauled coal.
Sure.
That's all. But see, they had to go back empty. But there was always boats running every direction.
Right. Mr. Lear, do you want to show them your boats? And does anyone have any questions they want to ask Mr. Lear? He has some boats he's going to show you. Would you like to do that?
Well, don't make no difference to me. Where do you want to go for a ride? shall we take a boat ride?
Right. Right.
Thanks. What year did the trolleys start to run on Main Street? How far did they run up?
When they first come, they came up to the railroad and they stopped. That's down here by the American Legion. Then they come from there up to the corner up here, Whiskey's Corner. They put the track up towards Lambertville, but they never finished it. They went to Newtown. And after they got to Newtown, then they come on back. And then they finished that up to Lambertville. But I can't tell you just what year. It was early. It was, I don't know.
I thought
4 or 5 or somewhere around there, 6. In there somewhere around that.
I thought I had 1905.
Well, somewhere.
Does that sound like it?
Somewhere. Yeah.
And it was a nickel, a ride.
Oh, yeah. And the old, down here where the Valley Market is, that was the old powerhouse.
Right.
And they run until the automobiles come along, and then they shut down.
Right.
Yep, everything went to pieces. You have no trolley cars, you don't have nothing anymore. The only thing you have is the old fire whistle, and that blows every half hour.
Right, or every 10 minutes. Does anyone else have any questions?
Yeah, what did the trolley run on at the beginning?
Huh?
What did the trolley run on? What kind of power?
Electric. Oh yeah, they were electric trolleys. You know where the Valley Market is? Down here in the Yardage? That was the old powerhouse. Yeah. That's the reason I say where they used to push the logs in when they took their ashes out, they dumped it in there because
sure.
they
made it. When did you say it stopped running?
Huh?
When did you say it stopped running?
When did it
stop running?
Well, I can't tell you. Right.
Did you have questions?
It was, they've been out of here for a long time.
But early 40s?
Yes.
Built west? I have a date on that. Railroad station.
The
date on that, I think
it's 1876. I swear I don't know whether they were running in the 40s or not.
Yes, they were.
I think they must have picked before the 40s. Somewhere down there, I believe, yeah.
You have another question back here.
What they do with the canal?
What?
How did they run the boats when the canal froze in the winter?
They didn't run them. Now, to explain the thing why they built the canal was up here at Summit Hill, they struck the coal. Philip Ginder was his name. He went to work and he struck coal because he was a loner and he was a miller and one thing or another and he was gunning. And he had been up there, and he found something. What's that black thing? He went and kicked it, and it broke. Well, he looked at it, and he took it down to a buddy of his. He had an old blacksmith shop. He says, it's stone coal. Which is, I thought, maybe make a stone for the grind feet. That's what he's looking for. Took it down there and threw it in the old blacksmith shop, they burnt charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
No coal. He says, it's a stone coal, is it? Well, they put it in there, and he says, you take that down to Philadelphia, sit down to a man by the name of Weiss, and he told him just what to do. He says, where did you get it, and how did you get it? Told him. He says, well, you go back there, and I think they give him 20 acres or something to discover, to find out how much coal was there. Well, then, it was there. Now to get it off of there. Well, when you go up there in Summit Hill, you got to come all the way down, strip Mount Chunk.
Oh, I see.
To come down the river.
Uh-huh.
See, they had to come down the river.
Mm-hmm.
They had no canal. Now, when they brought that coal down, you can't get it down in the dump cart and horse line. So, Josiah White, he built that railroad. from Mock Chunk up over the hill, down the other, and then off up into Summit Hill. Then you turn and you drift all the way back down. But when you
Are you talking about the switchback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the switch. That pulls you up with a with a machine.
Right.
Then you coasted on down the other hill till you got back and it pulled you up there. Then from that one, you coasted all the way back to Mount Trump again because it was coming down greater.
Right.
Now, that's the way they brought it down.
Uh-huh.
They filled these boxes with coal and they were carved. Now, when they come down, they dump them in the boat. All right. How are you going to get them back? They didn't have the cable to bring it up at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to bring mules down to haul these cars back.
Right.
You got to feed them. Well, he built a couple of them cars and he made them look like box cars. There's where your first dining car come from. Because they built mangers in there and they fed the horses as they come down the hill. When they got down, it was ready to go back. They could eat coming down. Well, he started that. I don't know whether it's run today or not.
Mm-hmm.
I've been over that many a time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know it. But that's the way they got it down. And then, when they come down, how are you going to get your car down? What are you going to... They made a raft, a great big raft, oh, a big one. And you've heard tell of them and saw them. Right in the middle of this raft, they built a box that would hold maybe about 15 to 20 ton of coal.
Mm-hmm.
That was called an ark. Now, in the summertime, when you don't get too much water in the river, it's unhandy. Well, now, in the spring of the year, it's time to get it down because all the ice and snow is melting and it's raining. All right, they start them out and they come down the river, and the first thing you know, they get into one end. They broke up and they lost their coal out in the river. Some of them would come all the way down into the Delaware River, and then before they come down, they'd be broke up.
Right.
Well, you couldn't do nothing with it. So they give that up, and then when they started, they had to have the canal built.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have something where they could control the water.
Right.
And then they started to dig the canal, and then that's what it was for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did anyone else have any questions?
Well, you know, one thing, when they took all these, when they took them...
Ellen wants to ask a question.
What is it? Here I am. Did some people own their own boat?
Oh, you owned your own boat, yeah.
Well, did they pay your father or the locksmith as they came through, or did they pay
No. No, when that started, the Lehigh Coal Company from the state of Pennsylvania built the canal. But then they leased it to the Lehigh Coal and Navigating Company for 99 years. So then, when they took that over, they had to make some money. So what they done, you had your boat, you had to get your coal. You own the boat, I own the boat. Well, the coal company, they used the canal too. But you and I had a boat of our own, that we had to own. It cost us about, we're going to do with a load of stuff. Well, gone from, all the way from the, I guess my temper up in there, coming down, it was running maybe around about $3 or $4. That you paid the Lehigh Coal, the Lehigh Coal Navigation Company, that. So you were using their canal. That's how they got their money. And, so if you owned your own boat, there'd be all them own boats. They were all owned by different, they're all about the company. I mean, you use now you take so much a mile, well, that would be so much a ton. But when you come to it, was into the mills, like maybe like 3 mills or something like that, for a ton of coal or something, whatever you would take. And then you figure that, and I cost maybe, a couple of dollars for a whole trip back and forth. So what you got out of your coal, you went down there, well, that was your money, but that's how it when things in the railroad stopped coming together and they took the boats out, they couldn't make those, so the state had to take it back. The state took it back and they moved it all apart. Well, today, they ain't got no money. There's no lock. I guess there's a couple locks. Ain't there one up around Point Pleasant? Might be one farther up around the Groundhound Dock or somewhere up in there that's open to work, to show you how to work. Well, the rest of the canal's all gone to pieces. You can enter like woods. The kids are tearing the house all down.
Right.
And the lock is all fell in, no gates anymore. I think we're dead with it, but I don't think there's any lower gates. And the upper gate is a dam across the canal with just a sluiceway in there, you know, a gate don't let the water out. But I haven't been up there for long.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, do you want to show your boats now? Let's do that. I think that would be fun.
Where do you want to look at?
I think over on the table might be a good idea.
Oh, you mean we got to tug these all the way over here? Come on. Give me that chair. Come on. On this table here.